بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Today we heard the recitation of Surah Al-Shu'ara, which means the poets. Immediately after Surah Al-Shu'ara, there is Surah Al-Naml. The theme of Surah Al-Naml is, would you believe it, military warfare. So immediately after the poets, what do you have? Military warfare. So the Quran is taking a very, very big jab at the artists of the world. A very big jab. That is not only in artistic expression, that Allah wants you to perform. It is in the field of human activity and prevention of injustice that artistic ability must translate into some form of action that helps other human beings and that helps the cause of justice and shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty and the All-Merciful. Surah Al-Shu'ara, the poets, as you heard, is a very beautiful surah, as is every surah of the Qur'an, with some kind of chorus, as you can imagine. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ الْآيَةِ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مِنْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مؤمنون مؤمنين وإن ربك له العزيز الرحيم. And in the beginning, وما سلكم عليه من أجر إن أجري إلا على رب العالمين فاتقوا الله وأطيعون. So this is a recurring theme and a recurring chorus, the play of words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his immaculate ability and power to coin phrases and to use words in such precise weight and measure and rhythm and rhyme that the poets would be totally baffled. This is neither prose nor is this poetry. The Quran is neither prose nor poetry. It is the Quran. ذَلِكُ الْكِتَابِ. It is the book. And if you want to identify a standard of speaking and expression, then you must use the Quran as the only standard. No other artistic ability will measure up to the artistic expressions of the Quran, which the ulama of Tafsir and Bayan and Ma'ani have written for the past 14 centuries, mashallah. Okay. Having said that, the Quran says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. That we have not taught him, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any poetry. Nor is it fitting for him. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. It is not fitting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite poetry, to compose poetry. Now you might ask why. It's a tool, it's a weapon. Nowadays, you have so many ways to use words through social media, common media, public media, private media, whatever. Drama, representation, novels, cartoons. Why is Allah saying that the Prophet must not be taught poetry? It's a big question, Surah Yasin. So the Quran addresses this. That although the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most intellectual human being ever, hands down, you will never compose poetry. The answer to this question is right at the end of the surah, as it leads into military warfare, which deals with Sulaiman alayhi salam and his powers. What is that? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والشعراء يتبعهم الغاوون. That the poets, okay, very evil devils follow them. The غاوون, those who are wandering devils, they follow the poets. وَإِنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ, because they let their imagination run wild in every valley. فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ, in every valley, يَهِيمُونَ, they roam wild. وَإِنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ, and they say what they do not do. You listen to a beautiful song with wonderful, motivating lyrics, and you look at the lifestyle of the poor artist. MashaAllah, what a contradiction. He is a manic depressant, and the words are so beautiful, it motivates you to go to the moon. وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ, they say what they don't do. That is the pit of hypocrisy. That is what? The pit of hypocrisy. And that is not something a prophet can do. A prophet cannot say what he does not do. And he will not do what he does not say. As the Quran says to believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ, why do you say what you don't do? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is extremely, extremely irritating. It angers Allah incredibly. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا, that you would say something you don't do. And all these artists in the world, what do they do? Whether you're into performing arts or whether you're into other arts, it doesn't matter. You will always not do what you say. أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. However, the Qur'an being the book of Allah, there's always an out, and there's always hope. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Except those who believe and do good deeds, and then what do they do? With their poetry and their composition and their artistic expression, they remember Allah plenty. That's the key. They must remember Allah. Not just once or twice in salah, no, kathira. Then, وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. And then they will vindicate if they are taken advantage of. Very openly the Quran says, وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. They will take revenge. When? If they are oppressed, meaning they're not cowboys, they're not pushovers, you will not be able to trample all over their emotions and their rights and violate them because they are composers or they are musicians or they are artists or whatever they are. So the Quran makes this a condition to be an accepted person of poetry and arts, that you believe, you do good deeds, and you remember Allah plenty in your free time. Not that every time, every single moment you have, you're drawn into this free world of imagination, fantasy. And we all run wild with our fantasies. At the same time, in the court of public opinion and in the court of social justice, you are there in the forefront. You're not on the back bench. You're not hiding behind your poetry, behind your art, behind your music, behind your songs, behind your expressions that I've done my job, I've spoken about. No, you're there in the forefront. وَانْتَصَرُ, that you must be willing to seek revenge and vindicate injustice. On the back of this, what is now the logical surah after this? The surah that talks about military warfare. Surah An-Naml. The ant. Sulaiman alayhi salam and his armies. Which armies? The armies of jinn. The armies of ins, human beings. The armies of birds. And through Allah's fadl, the armies of the ants that crawl on the earth, underneath the earth. All of these hordes of soldiers with him. And what does he do? He doesn't go around beating people up. He doesn't go around confiscating people's land. He doesn't go around saying that we are the superpower. He goes out to fulfill a mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that wherever there is shirk, that shirk has to be eliminated or mitigated, one of the two. Why? Because the Quran says, "Inna shirka la dhulmun azim." Shirk is the highest form of oppression. Not believing Allah correctly, that in itself is an injustice. Sulaiman alayhi salam uses his powers and his might and his army, and the whole surah takes us to the climax where the Queen of Sheba, commonly known as Bilqis, is a mushrik. She and her people, they worship the sun. And they have immense power in the land of Sana'a, Saba, in southern Yemen. Immense power. Sulaiman al-Islam goes towards them because his scout, his intelligent officer, who is a bird, Hudhud, informs him that there is a group of people there, over there, a few hundred miles away, wherever he was from, Jerusalem. Okay. Maybe 1,000. All the way down south, where I found this group of people, they have a queen, and the queen and her people, they are worshipping the sun. Sulaiman is now, okay. This cannot be while Sulaiman is alive. Now, you can sit there with your guitar and compose music. Okay, make the words to rhyme. The army going along, okay, chanting all war songs and everything else. But the Quran takes a very different approach. And says, Sulaiman alayhi salam uses his might and power and his ability to create and to build. And the way he subjugated the people around him and the way that people would work for him at a moment's notice was all for this purpose. What was that purpose? To show Bilqis, the Queen of Sheba, that only God is the one who is worthy of worship. No one else is. No one else is. So she has a throne, as we all know. Huge throne. So Sulaiman alayhi salam now is testing his people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me military power, and I can do this and that. I have the jinn subjugated. I can make them build anything I want to in a moment's notice. Within 3-4 days, that thing will be built. يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ مِنْ مَحَارِيبٍ وَتَمَاثِيلٍ وَجِفَانٍ كَالْجَوَابِ وَقُدُورٍ رَاسِيَاتٍ. That the big, huge pots of cast iron pots they would build, because his father Dawud alayhi salam had the ability to manipulate iron. So the armies had to be fed with these huge pots. وَقُدُورِ الرَّاسِيَات. They were anchored into the ground. That's how the armies would come, and they would need this amount of food. Sulaiman alayhi salam is saying that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me all of this military power. But I want to see something else. Because he's a Nabi. He's not a politician. He's not a king. Okay. And he doesn't believe that he's going to live on this planet for earth, on earth forever. So he says, okay, let me see where my people are. So he tells his people that this one, Sheba, is coming. And I want one of you here to bring me her throne, which is a few hundred miles away, locked up behind bars somewhere. Security. قَالَ إِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. One of the major jinns, he says, that I'll bring it to you before you adjourn today. قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِ. Before you adjourn your majlis, I'll bring it to you. Sulaiman is now about to make a comment when all of a sudden another person who's human, he says, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. I'll bring it to you before you blink. And as soon as he blinked, the arsh was there. Next, try this for power. This ain't military power. The Quran says, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. This is this power. The power of knowledge. The one who had knowledge of revelation, he brought this in an instant, which overrides all other powers. So when you study the surah that deals with military warfare in the Quran, what is your conclusion? That all your depositories, all your arsenals, all your weapons of mass destruction, they mean nothing to the Nabi. They mean what? Diddly squat to the Nabi. The Nabi is not interested. That is an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will do it because Allah wants him to do. What a Nabi is looking for is one man who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who believes Allah is the Almighty, and his power trumps every earthly power. That is what a Nabi looks for. So when he sees this, Sulaiman says, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is from the fadl of my Lord. That I have one person in my community who is able to do this. Now I'm set. Alhamdulillah. I can train the army, I can train the military, I can equip the army and the military, I can have everything. But if I don't have this people of knowledge, of revelation, then I am doomed. My people are doomed. This is a lesson we must take home. Was Suleiman now? Then the person who wants to stand up for justice. What is justice? Allah is one, and the sun is Allah's creation. You cannot worship the sun. So he asked his people and the jinns to construct now a marble pavement. A marble pavement. This is the Grand Mall. We have pavements made of stone and marble. But this marble is transparent. It's see-through. It's like glass. So they build it for him. And then as Bilqis comes with her troops, now she's coming towards Suleiman, alayhi salam. First of all, he asks her about the throne next to him. Yeah, do you recognize this? She says, oh, Gannahuhu. It's very similar to the one I have. Okay, you pass the first test. Let's see if you pass the second test. So as she comes and approaches, she feels that the marble transparent glass-like pavement is actually water. Because the sun is shining, is bright, and the reflection of the sun is on this glass-like marble, and she feels that this glass is not glass or marble, it is what? It's water. So she lifts her skirt up. And then, فَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقَيْهَا. If you want to know about fashion from the Qur'an. She exposed a part of her shin. Which means what to those who wear clothing? That even in those days, you had to cover your ankles. Right? Even in those days, you had to cover your ankles. Otherwise, how would you see your shin unless she undressed from the top? I don't think that's how she lifted her skirt. A little bit of her shin bone was exposed. And then she was bewildered. How can something so transparent and bright not be water? As the thirsty one in the desert, what does he see? He sees an optical illusion. He sees a mirage. He thinks it's water and he gets there. There's nothing there. Likewise, Bilqis, no? Trying to feel the water. The water's not there. It doesn't exist. Then she realizes. As she realizes, she passes the second test, which is what? Very smart, very bright, mashallah. And she says, no. This is not water. Just as the light of the sun is not eternal light, it borrows its light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power of creativity and therefore I should not be worshipping the sun anymore. And what does she say? Aslamtu. Now I accept Islam. So now all this military might and power and these abilities and all these soldiers and the army with Sulaiman alayhi salam, they are there to help him do one thing. And what is that? That is to help Bilqis accept Islam. Aslamtu ma'a Sulaiman, with Sulaiman. Lillahi rabbil alameen, to Allah, I submit now to Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds. Now I realize I've made such a huge mistake that the reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creativity is on the sun, and through that reflection I feel the sun is everything. But that's not true. Just as this marble is not marble or water, it is just the mirage that Sulaiman has created. So if Sulaiman can create this mirage, then how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be able to create the mirage of the sun? Fascinating. Instantaneous understanding. So what I'm saying is that Surah Al-Shu'ara, where you have artistic ability, which is needed, by the way. We're not saying don't develop your artistic ability. We're not saying that. We wouldn't have Dara Qasim. Right? This is what this is about. What we're saying is that don't be a pussycat. In the court of social justice, stand up, have a backbone, and say, this is wrong. This is justice, this is injustice. وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. That if there's a violation of anyone's rights, then you stand up. And the prophets were the first to stand up. So Sulaiman alayhi salam now is the role model for anyone who seeks any kind of domination or power in the world. That if you want to be a military power, then you must have Tawheed number one in your arsenal, in your repertoire, in your portfolio. Inside of you, you must have Tawheed, that Allah is one. Everything else, every other power is a reflection of Allah's creativity. That is the message of both surahs when you read them together. And as you know, the Quran is supposed to be read as one whole book. Dhalikul Kitab is one whole book. Read it from the beginning to the end, and you'll see how consistent and cogent it is. And this was the message that the Mufassirun brought to us, that when you read it this way, it is very simple. It is very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and blessed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the Quran, and we are now the recipients of that knowledge that came to us through the Sahaba and the Tabi'in today, that now we are listening to this. So this is a huge, inshallah, lesson for all of us to take, that whatever creativity you see in the world is merely a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creativity. Whatever power you see in the world is merely a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's now power and might and abilities. And whatever knowledge you see in the world is merely a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. With this we make dua, and we make dua for the deceased who died today. And there are quite a few of them. We make dua for all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep their graves, inshallah, munawwar with his nur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise them and resurrect them on the day of judgment and allow them to enter Jannatul Firdaus without any hisab. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. Wa Salamun Ala Al-Mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.